and welcome to season 3, episode 2 of the YouTube series. So I hope everyone is having a great week and really enjoying the month of July. I'm so excited for festivals and all that will be summertime shy. So I hope everyone enjoyed the time with your family for the 4th, and for my Juneteenth people, I hope that you still enjoy time with your family. So the first thing I want to do is, I know I said next week I was going to come back with my Monique recap, and I'm ready for you. So the first thing I want to talk about is the fact that Monique and her interview with Tyler Perry that she decided to leak, her phone call went something like this.
I said to you earlier, Sydney, that that wouldn't be fair. I wouldn't think that that was fair.
But what would you want to be done, sir?
What would you want it fixed, Tyler?
How would you want that fixed?
And
how would I want it fixed?
Let me tell you.
The reputation, how would I want that fixed?
Let me tell you.
What exactly are you asking?
Let me tell you. So that, because, and my husband is that part of our team that he has the business conversations. I'm the part of the team that you saw May 13th on the stage. So what I would ask you is, because you're talking in Tyler Perry language, I would ask you to let Monique talk to Madea. Because when you start talking in Tyler Perry language, brother, you talk like you don't get it.
Tyler Perry, I felt, was on the phone admitting that he may or may not have played a role in the gossip of Lee Daniels spreading that Monique may have been hard to work with. However, Monique, Tyler Perry, I felt, was not the person that you have a main issue with. First of all, you've never actually worked with Tyler Perry. I can't really name a film that she's worked on. Now, obviously, Tyler Perry was saying the residual money that he got from Precious, he was going to give to her to kind of make up for the fact that she was looking for some more money. In order for him to do that, he definitely had to put some money down on the project. So he was definitely affiliated with it, but he wasn't present in the scenes working day to day or working period, which is why I say that at first that, you know, he's never really worked with her. However, he did realize, you know, you have been wrong. What can I do to help you alleviate this problem? And so she really was looking for him to go and advocate behind closed doors, because someone advocating on your behalf, there's nothing new. In corporate America, we call them sponsors. We call them, you know, mentors. It's the same thing within Hollywood, so I definitely get that. However, what we found out was Lee Daniels actually owed Dame Dash $2 million. Like, rightfully, he owed that. He doesn't technically owe Monique anything. Now, morally, does he owe her something? You can definitely argue back and forth, but if he didn't give back the millions of dollars that was rightfully owed, that he says, I am wrong for, I don't really know how much Tyler Perry can help make someone else give you money. Like, he offered the money, but she really wanted to kind of have him push for more of a confidant. I think that what she was looking for was like a blanket, bold statement, press release style saying Monique is not hard to work with. And I just think that that was probably never going to come from him. I think that his conversations were probably going to be more of a behind the scenes, you know, one-on-one situation with people versus that. So who knows? Second of all, I feel like we don't really touch enough on how bad of a manager her husband is. None of this would even be present had her husband said, okay, 50K is great up front, but if this movie hits, where's my residual? And Monique doesn't have any residuals, and that's because she had her husband, who was, for all states and purposes, a very unqualified man, continue to run her businesses and her business pleasures. And so every time that we see something, we see that it's not going right, and it's strictly because she thinks that because they are a family unit, it is his duty to help bring in her coins. And he just needs to focus on being a husband and not being a manager. Not everyone can be as great as Kris Jenner, and that's just facts. So now that we talked about how Monique really could have done a better job of making sure that she got paid in equity and through residual income, let's talk about YouTube and how YouTubers get paid. Because I definitely want to say that how YouTubers get paid, sometimes these videos can lead to residual, just like what Monique was should have done had her husband not been her manager. So with that being said, you can get paid a couple different ways. Say that you're a small YouTuber and you're just starting out and you're like, okay, I know I want to get sponsors eventually, but I don't have any right now. What do I do? The first thing you can do is you can start doing video reviews on different products and clothes. And just make sure that the products and the clothes that you are doing reviews on, make sure that you have affiliate links for those products. So for instance, say that you did like a handmade purse that's like, you got it from traveling somewhere when you were out of the country and it was literally someone on the road. You may not want to start with those videos because no one can go ahead and buy that, right? You don't have a number, you don't have a name, you don't have a website, and that person doesn't have an affiliate link. But what you can do is you can go and you can get some jeans from Fashion Nova. And you can review them, and Fashion Nova has a review code, and you can go ahead and start making money from that. And the options are endless. And if you are your own business, you can actually have your own affiliate link as well. There are different plugins that you can connect to your website. There are different tools all over that will allow you to do that. So that's the first thing. And so now it doesn't matter how many views you have, because all you need is to keep promoting that video to make sure that one person that likes your video clicks it and you already have some sort of money. So how does this work? Well, with affiliate links, sometimes the cookies last for 28 days and that person, once they click your link, has 28 days for you to go ahead and purchase and make money from there. So that's one way. Another way is for you to join these shopping network sites. So one shopping network site that I really like is Social Fabric. So Social Fabric will be a site that has different shop opportunities. So you say that you want to go out and it's Mother's Day, right? Well, for Mother's Day, there was a cocktail. They wanted you to really make a mocktail, so a virgin cocktail, and blog about using it for your mom on Mother's Day, or for yourself if you're a mom on Mother's Day and you needed to use Simply Lemonade to review that and to write a blog on that. You would go ahead and they would pay you around $250. So think about anything from reviewing the Diva Cup to Pepsi to Coca-Cola and everything in between. So Social Fabric is a great tool to use. Another great tool to use is a tool or website called FameBit. But for FameBit, you need to have 5,000 followers on one of your social media platforms before you can join. But like that, there are different sponsored brands that have already said, hey, we're looking for content creators to review our products and to either make a video or a blog or both. And we're paying anywhere between $25 to $2,500. Like, it all depends on what their budget is, how many people they're looking for, and how many followers they're looking for people to have. So that is another way that you can start making some money. So another one that I really push for is Activate. So Activate is put on by blogloving.com. So if you go to blogloving.com and hit one of the search engine bars and click Activate, you'll be able to find their platform where there is literally nothing but different brands on there looking to partner. And so they're looking for hundreds of people to partner every time, and you just need to apply, and if you get chosen, again, that's a partnership. So that's another way that you can start getting some sponsored content. Another thing that you want to do is you want to start going after these brands on your own. Like, you don't have to wait to get discovered. Go out and reach out to them. For me personally, what I do is I like to reach out to 5 to 10 brands per week. why? Because I don't like bulk doing things. I like to have a strategy or a system. So if I wake up and I say, okay, I need to hit 5 people today in email, then I'm good. Another thing that I want to say is that you can start going after these clients in these businesses yourself. You don't need 1,000 people to start finding someone. You just need to prove that your followers, the people that are following you, actually love you, like you, and respect you enough to trust your opinion. And if you put out a product or something, they will click the link. That's all you have to do. So if you feel like you're ready for that, then let's go. And so what does that mean first? First, we need to make a media kit. So if you are looking for extra help, I definitely create media kits. Just head on over to averageblackgirl.com or send me an email at danielle@averageblackgirl.com and I will go ahead and get right with you and make sure that we have the proper media kit. But once you have the media kit, and in your media kit, what should it be? You should have an image of your face, or you are somewhere within your brand. You should have your mission and your vision. You should have who your demographics are. And your demographics are not only the people and their age and their sex, and if you can, their race and their geographic regions, but then you want to also show how many followers you have and what platforms you have them on. And then you want to add them all up and you want to have your total reach. Now, once you have that, what you're going to do is you're going to create a list. Now, I like to create a list of 40 to 100 businesses that I think work really well with my brand and my vision. And if that's too much to do, that's fine. I would not hold off doing the 5 to 10 a week because you don't have 40 to 100. I'm just saying that if you can mass think that, then you'll be good for a couple of months. Because you're not going to get 100% yeses, but you're not going to get 100% no's. And that's the fun part of life, right? So with that being said, sometimes people have a sponsor and they say yes, and they want you to do a video maybe once a month or once a quarter. That's a reoccurring partnership. That's a great thing to have. Another thing that you may want to do is if there's a brand that's kind of growing and you like it, instead of asking for money, maybe you can ask for free products in exchange for videos. That's another way to, if you're not at least making money from YouTube, you can at least start to supplement your income and with things that you're already going to buy. So I like to look at things like that. Some brands I like and I align with, some brands I like so much that I actually use. And so if I can't get paid, at least give me the products. So I really enjoy that. And if you're looking for free products, I would definitely go ahead and check out Influencer because they send you products once a month. So far this year, I've gotten highlighter from Becca, and I just got a toner and moisturizer from Lancome. Full sizes, might I add you. And so I use both toner and a moisturizer, face moisturizer, for my everyday look anyway. So now that's just something that I don't have to buy. And it's good quality too. The next thing that you can do is say that you are looking to have a playlist where you can promote a different type of person. So maybe you want to promote moms that you like, or dads that you like, or black businesses, or women-owned businesses, or businesses owned by mothers, or businesses owned by young mothers. If your platform is starting to get some exposure and consistently growing, you can pay for an interview or pay for a feature if it's going to be on there, even if it's something that's not expensive. I think when I first started doing YouTube features, it started at $35. You know, nothing too crazy, but, you know, I am putting a lot of effort to record, come up with interview questions, edit, and upload. At least I can now start making money for that. It, you know, $35 is enough to buy a new software or some new stuff to promote your video or Adobe Effect. You know, it's enough to start buying some stuff that you actually need. And as you grow, then you can double that. What was once 35 is now 65. So whatever you want to do, you can double. And then the last thing I want you to do is I want you to start getting strategic, right? So say that you want a beauty sponsorship. and you don't have any beauty videos, I would start doing that now. Even for free stuff, if you're not getting paid, that's fine. Start going over your favorite things, start going over different looks. And I would do the same thing for other brands. Say that you want to start getting maybe a sports sponsorship or a brand that does different fashion. Are you doing spring looks, summer looks, winter looks, look of the day, look for wearing all black, you know, colors? Start putting out that video of what you would be doing when you want to get paid. Start doing that now so that when brands look at you, they're going to say, have you done anything like this before? If you want brands to start doing giveaways, then I would start doing giveaways now. Then brands will see that you already do it. They'll see how, what's your process. How are people responsive to it? Do they like it? Do they not? Because one thing I've learned is that everyone wants to work with you when you first start. It is you that is going to change their minds and make them not want to work with you, right? It's going to be your slow response. It's going to be your lack of experience. It's going to be your lack of content. It's going to be you not doing something or not knowing something or not responding fast enough or not going in their likelihood. But if you are nice and professional and are consistent with your content, people will come to you because people like to work with people that are easy to work with. So speaking of working with people, right? If I haven't learned anything, I've learned that it takes money to make money, right? You can't really do everything on your own. And that's okay. But the faster that you learn that, the faster you'll be better. So, you know, if you're taking too long for you to do an intro video, go ahead. Me, I wanted to do a podcast. I decided not to do it on my own, working with Weathers Media Group. And now I'm more consistent because I am not a one-woman team. So I know you saying, everyone's saying to create a team, that you need to figure out who your tribe is going to be. You need to figure out who you're going to work with. Well, how do I work with people online without getting scammed? So I'm going to give you 5 steps to avoid getting scammed online. So the first step is going to be reviews. If someone doesn't have reviews, especially on Facebook. On Facebook, if your page is a public figure, then you cannot have reviews. However, if you are anything else, you can activate reviews if you want to. So if someone is not a public figure and doesn't have reviews, it's because they did not activate it. Now, you don't activate reviews for one of two reasons. One, you're not ready. Maybe you're just starting out and you're still trying to get your bearings. And so you're just not ready because you haven't perfected it. And anyone that you've had a negative experience with, you want to take your time to fix it before you allow the reviews. That's fine. Every new business goes through this growing phase. However, if you're not a new business and you don't have reviews, I look out because what are you hiding? Most businesses that I've worked with that I've had a negative experience don't have reviews, and they don't have reviews posted because they don't want people like me, who leaves reviews for everything, to post their negative review. However, for me, I just go ahead and post on YouTube because I review businesses all the time anyway. However, for the majority of the people that don't have that, then they just don't get their voice heard at all. So with that being said, number one, do they have reviews? And I would look for reviews outside of websites because at this day and age, it's 2018, we can really configure websites to look like anything. That's why I look at Facebook and LinkedIn reviews, because those are done by real people. I can actually DM someone that has led a review and ask for specific questions. Hey, I'm just following up. Did this person really fulfill what they were saying? How was their tone? You know, I can figure that out if I want to. And depending on the price point, I'm going to ask someone. You know, $50, okay, cool. But if I'm spending $3,000, I need to know what's going on, who I'm getting into, and this, that, and the third. Now, the next thing that I look into, and this is really for the buyer, not the owner, right? If they don't want to use PayPal, that to me is a sign. Why? Because PayPal, 99% of the time, sides with the buyer. So it's in your favor to use PayPal, because all you have to do is reach out to PayPal and say, hey, I purchased this and I didn't get what I wanted, and they'll give you the money, especially if it's within 3 months. I think after 90 days, it like go somewhere else, but I know within the 90 days, you can just click support ticket and they'll side with you. So that's one of the things that I've learned. Now, a lot of store owners don't like PayPal because of that. And so I'm not saying that it's a hard no if they don't use it. It's a hard no if they don't want you to use it. Like if their normal on their store is Stripe or Square, that's fine. But if you say, hey, I would like to make my payment via PayPal, is that okay? And they say no, I would really look into that. Especially if they don't have any reviews, I would probably run at that time. The next thing to avoid getting scammed is to call. Do they have a number that you can call? And if they don't, or if it takes a long time for you to find out that number or get someone to talk to, that is really telling of how it's going to be if you have an issue. If it takes forever for you to find someone before you buy, why would it take a shorter time after you buy? Before you buy is when they are answering every email. They are, you know, so responsive, providing you reviews and everything because they want your money. So if they're dragging their feet and they want your money, expect what's going to happen when they don't want anything else from you. Number four would be their consistency in their behavior. Now, what does that mean? I would look at their social media and start seeing what they're talking about. Now, it's a difference between transparency and being a downright bully. Now, a lot of times these business owners, especially when you're a smaller business owner, will be super transparent and say, hey, I'm going through this, but I made it through. Or they'll say, I'm having a really hard time, blase, blase, blah. But that hard time should not have anything to do with their ability to perform. That's why you have processes and procedures in place when you're building a brand. Because if I'm gone, even for a funeral, if someone joins my newsletter, they're still getting the emails. If someone signs up for my course, they're still getting the video sent to them. None of that stops because I'm physically not available. And so if they are doing one of two things, one, making excuses, I am not responding to emails and I'm so far behind because I'm going through this, this, and the third. That's I empathize with you. I'm empathetic. I understand where you're coming from, but that's not an excuse, right? You can't excuse, that's inexcusable for you to have bad behavior or bad performance or bad customer service because you're going through something. The next thing is I would go through their timeline and see if they have any negative posts about their paying customers. I'm sorry, but you have to be a specific type of individual, a special type to talk down about someone that has given you money. Out of everyone in the world they could have bought from, but they decide to buy from you. And so I see like a lot of screenshots of this person has emailed me 2 times in 24 hours. I would get back to you. Like all that time it took for you to take a screenshot and post on Facebook, you could have emailed them and let them know what's going on. Like I said, communication is key. And if you tell people what's going on, they'll be more responsive. But if you just go ghost on someone, especially after I gave you my money, I'm going to think you're scamming me. Even if you're not, I'm going to think you're scamming me. Number five, I will look into their freebie. So a lot of times what I've noticed is the freebies that have a lot into it, if their freebie is dope, their paid stuff is even better. But for those that give you something that is like put together in 5 minutes and it just looks really plain Jane, that's also a tell sign. Because your freebie is supposed to be the first thing that people see when they first try to buy you. So my freebie is actually no longer free. So for those that took advantage, great job. But for everybody else, it's now back to five. It's up to $5 now. But for me, I put a lot of effort into that freebie. And that just sets the tone for what kind of quality and content that I have. So my freebie is how to make your LinkedIn irresistible. But for everyone else, It can be whatever. And so your freebie can be a video course, a PDF with different links. It can be a mail course. It can be coupons. It can be whatever you want it to be. But you want to make sure that whatever they're getting is of some sort of value. I like to say the value should be between $25 and $50, but you want it to be some sort of value. If it's a $5 freebie, I'm going to look at you a little sideways, especially if your freebie is like maybe $5 worth and then your next thing is $1,000. I'm really looking at you sideways. So those are the five ways to avoid getting scammed online. So be safe in these internet streets. And if you have any questions, or if you're like, okay, I want to start, but I don't know where to go, if you go to averageblackgirl.com/toolbox, you will see all of the tools that I've tried that I support. And then if you also go to averageblackgirl.com and look at the tab resources for entrepreneurs, then you will also get a lot of the links through this podcast. So the last thing that I want to talk about is, I definitely want anybody that has been thinking about starting a YouTube and you're like, okay, I'm really interested now, this is something that I really want to start. You know, we're halfway through 2018. We've reached our halfway mark. So it's really time for you guys to get everything in order. I have a YouTube for Your Business masterclass that I would love for you to join. Once you're in the masterclass, you also join Melanin Business for by Daniel Mitchell, and we will be able to give you positive critiques on your intro videos, your outro videos, and everything in between. But this is the year of video content and content creation. So if you are not starting, I want this to be your wake-up call. Everybody listening to me should have a YouTube channel by the end of this. Regardless if you are telling jokes, telling story times, unboxing toys, unboxing different socks. Hey, there's even a channel that goes to different hotels and just takes pictures and records the different hotel carpet. Like, there's literally something for everyone, and I definitely want you to get a piece of this pie. Well, that's it for season 3, episode 2. For everyone listening, please don't hesitate to send any questions to danielle@averageblackgirl.com. I would love to hear from you and help answer your stuff directly. I also want to mention that for those that are looking for a little bit more one-on-one help, you can either look at some of my online courses, or if you want me specifically in real time, I would definitely go ahead and sign up for my membership program, my Above Average Crew membership. It's $100 a month, or it is $1,000 for the year. And that comes with a strategy session monthly, plus access to all of my online courses. So we can really dive in and figure out whatever problem you're working on and perfect it. So I would love to work with 20 individuals on that and get started and have everything filled with that before the end of the year. So that's the goal that I'm really pushing. I want to help 20 new individuals jump to the next step within their business before this year is over. So if you feel like I'm talking to you, I am, and I would love to hear from you a little bit sooner. All right, my Above Average Crew, you can reach me on my websites at averageblackgirl.com and my blog and lifestyle website at danielleamitchell.com. You can reach me on Facebook and Instagram at Average Black Girl, and on Twitter at ABGGirl. And you can reach me on Pinterest at ablackgirl2015. And don't forget, the Start Your YouTube Masterclass can be found at above-average-university.teachable.com. I will talk to you soon. Bye.